After hearing about the rustic, you know, mostly country-style food of northern Thailand, we also wanted to get into some of the city food of central Thailand. And so the obvious place to look is in Bangkok. It is a city of 15 million people. And if you look at the pictures, it's, you know, all gleaming skyscrapers and golden, gorgeous royal temples. But Lila Bunyaratapan has a closer perspective. She grew up there in a house built by her great-grandparents. And she writes about the history of Thai cuisine, from regular home food to dishes created for royalty, in her books Simple Thai Food and her latest, Bangkok. Hey, Lila, great to talk with you.
Great talking to you too, Francis.
Okay, here's something I really want to start with, because I have been told, I feel like 1,000 times, that, well, you know, the food that most Americans think of as Thai food is really central Thai food, you know, which is where Bangkok is. And I've heard it so many times, I just assume it's true, but I don't really know what it means. What does that mean?
Yeah, I've heard that many times too, and I don't know what it means either. Seems a little too simplistic,
sure.
And a lot of assumptions go into that, I think. But it's kind of complicated. I agree that most of the dishes that you find on the menus of most Thai restaurants outside Thailand are based on the dishes that you would find in urban areas of Thailand, including Bangkok.
Okay. So those dishes like pad thai, pad siu.
Exactly. Yes.
But you write in your book that Bangkok, even though it's in the heart of central Thailand, its food is sort of its own thing.
Yes. Central Thailand is a broad, flat, alluvial plain with many rivers, including the Dao Phraya River. And the region also touches the ocean, the Gulf of Thailand. So mm-hmm. we're talking about an extremely fertile area, the land of rice and fish, you know.
Yeah.
And the central Thai cuisine relies heavily on marine lives and the vegetation that grows in river basins. But what makes the food of Bangkok different from the food of central Thailand in general? This is where the secondary elements come into play.
Mm.
And these are the cultural elements. Bangkok has always been the center of government, diplomacy, and trade. You know, how old is the city? 236 years? Yeah. Yeah, 236 years in April, yes. So out of the traditional central Thai cuisine, we see a new cuisine emerge. And it's a result of a confluence of many cultures and belief systems, migrations, settlements, those kinds of things. And you don't see this in other regions of Thailand, at least not on this scale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see Persian influences, Indian influences, very strong Chinese influences as well, and some Portuguese influences, some British, and later on some American influences, etc.
What are some of the Persian influences? I've never heard that.
Well, have you heard of matsaman curry?
Yeah.
That is Persian.
Oh, matsaman. Like,
yeah.
Like Muslim, like what people used to call Muslims.
Exactly.
No kidding. So that matsaman curry is yellow, if we're going with like the color guide, because again, you look at that stereotypical
the
menu.
The traffic light curries.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like yellowy orange-ish, right? But what distinguishes matsaman curry in terms of its technique or its ingredients from the other curries?
I would say the presence of dry spices, which you don't see a lot in the other colored curries. Like, for example, the use of dry spices like cinnamon and cloves, star anise, some other dry spices that you don't see in red curry or green curry or other curries.
Yeah, yeah.
And another thing is that if you notice, matsaman curry isn't as spicy hot as green curry or red curry.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the characteristics of Persian or South Indian influences in Thai cuisine as well.
Like less chili and more
right.
dry spice. So interesting. So in the book, you also write about the house that your great-grandparents built in Bangkok in the 40s. And you describe their kitchen so beautifully. I'd love to hear you tell us about that kitchen, what cooking in that kitchen was like.
This is not a typical Bangkok kitchen.
Okay.
I grew up in a pretty weird home, in a good way. In retrospect, I didn't see it as being good at that point. But it's a very traditional family, and my great-grandparents were born at the very end of the 1800s. My great-grandfather served as a civil servant in the royal court. And his generation was the last generation that lived through, worked through, and retired in the times of the absolute monarchy system, mm-hmm. against the backdrop of the social hierarchy of that age. So he was very set in the way he wanted to live and eat. I'll never understand it fully, but his house, which is the house that my parents, my aunts, and my uncles, and my cousins lived in or around, was set up in such a way that it never really moved on from the 1800s. Mm. It was stuck in that era, happily so.
Yeah.
We had electricity, and we used it for other purposes, but for some reason, in the kitchen, though, not so much.
Okay.
We had a large built-in clay and brick stove with two burners. It comes up to your waist. So all the food shopping would be done in the morning. We would buy just enough for the day, no freezing, no storing anything other than the pantry items like shrimp paste, garlic, stuff like that. Most of the cooking would be done in the morning, too.
Mm.
The burners would be on throughout the morning, mostly to cook things that need to be cooked for a long time. And then for quick last-minute cooking, we have a few small clay stoves for that. It's like a museum,
Francis. Yeah. It was all like wood and coal-fired. There's a detail that I thought was so striking. And you talk about they would have a pot outside the window for catching water that you then scent with flowers.
Yeah.
And
there's a huge clay jar that is reserved for that purpose, to collect rainwater.
And that water would go into a dish that I'd never heard of, but sounds incredible. It's rice in ice-cold flower-scented water,
right,
with all these different accompaniments, like shrimp dumplings and preserved radishes, mm-hmm. and stuffed peppers.
It's a very sophisticated, complicated dish. You would polish the rice until the grains are clean. You uh-huh. want to wash off all of the starchiness,
uh-huh.
so that the water would remain clear, like crystal clear, throughout the entire meal.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you picked this dish to talk about, because I can't think of a better dish that would exemplify what we've talked about, you know, in terms of what makes the cuisine of Bangkok unique. This dish originally comes from the Mon, an ethnic group who migrated in several waves from Myanmar or Burma,
mm-hmm.
and have assimilated into the Thai culture. And the original Mon version is very, very simple.
Mm.
The version you see in Bangkok today, though, is very sophisticated, very elaborate. And we have the ladies of the royal court in the early days of Bangkok to thank for this.
Mm.
They were of Mon descent, and they were the ones who took this dish and reinterpreted it through the lenses of the royal cuisine. And that's how we got the current version, which is served mostly during the Thai New Year celebration in April.
Uh-huh.
It's really hot in April, so this comes in handy. It takes a village to put it together. It's definitely not a weeknight meal.
Yeah. Tell us about some of the things that go. So you have this rice, which you've cooked and then cleaned.
Right.
You mm-hmm. submerge it in ice-cold, flower-scented water, which sounds just incredible.
Which you had to prepare the night before.
To infuse the flavor.
Right.
And then there are all these things that go with it. Tell us about what those things are.
Well, those things vary, but certain things remain the same, regardless of who the cook is. The shrimp paste dumplings, the stuffed shallots, those are always present. The sweet radish, the preserved radish, that's mm-hmm. always there too. And a stuffed pepper that is wrapped in strands of egg. You have to make it by hand.
Oh, wow.
It's really something. It's a celebration.
It's
you don't want to do this every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And the dish is called, how do you pronounce the dish in Thai?
Khao Chea.
Khao Chea. Okay, so mm-hmm. I am going to plan to go to Thailand in April to go get some Khao Chea during the Thai New Year.
That sounds like a plan.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Leela.
Thank you, Francis.
Leela Bunyaratnapan is the author of the cookbooks Bangkok and Simple Thai Food, and she also blogs at shesimmers.com. And she left us with a serious party recipe for 16 people. It's called 24-Hour Chicken Masaman Curry, and you can find it at splendidtable.org.